Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and welcome to another edition of 3 Yards Per Carry, the last 3 Yards Per Carry before we take our little hiatus for the summer. Kai Chen Chisholm, Marek Brave, and Josh House will be with you for the entire month of June. Keep listening to them, okay? It only hurts our download numbers if you don't. This show is always brought to you by Prize Picks. Use promo code 5, F-I-V-E. You deposit $100, and they give you $100, one-time rollover, which means you only have to bet it through once, and they just give it to you. So essentially, it's a free $100. Take it, F-I-V-E. And of course, BetterEdge.com. Go to BetterEdge.com/5reasons, and they give you $20 just for signing up.
All right,
guys. Simon, I don't know if you're aware of this, but we don't lose around here anymore.
Wait till September.
What did you have to say that? You're supposed to say, no, we ain't losing through September either.
Oh, sorry.
No. We don't lose in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's right. Because both teams were 8 seeds coming into the playoffs.
So, we got a marginal season coming up, but, you know, a great postseason.
Yeah, Dolphins are going to go crazy with that 7th seed. They're going to run all the way to the Super Bowl with that. I posed a question on OnlyFans. I was surprised by the response because I think they were kind of wrong. I asked, you know, what team is this more like, okay? And I gave them the two choices, the Florida Panthers or the Miami Heat. The Florida Panthers a year ago were the 1 seed. They won the President's Trophy. They lose in embarrassing fashion in the second round. And their general manager, Bill Zito, says this is not good enough. And he tears apart the core, builds a team that's a little bit more conducive to success in the playoffs, meaning more physicality. And they have kind of a mediocre season, but here they are 3-0 up in the Eastern Conference Finals. Okay. The Heat were the 1 seed, and they just looked at the team and they said, we're good enough as we are. We're running it all back. We're bringing everybody back. No changes. They have a mediocre regular season, and here they are up 3-0 in the Houston Conference Finals. So it's two completely different approaches. I think that the Dolphins are much more like the Panthers. Like, they needed to take a strong, long look at what they did last year and make some philosophical changes, and I think they have on the defensive end. Our listeners and our patrons on OnlyFans, only $3 a month, by the way, check the pinned tweet on 3 Yards Per Carry Twitter account. They think we're more like the Heat. Like, all they needed to do was just run back what we had last year, no philosophical changes, and the team will improve as is. Which one do you think that they're more like? Because I think it's obviously the Panthers, no, Simon?
I mean, you could be talking Mandarin, Alf, in terms of, you know, what I know about the Miami Heat and the Florida Panthers. So, I mean, I think there will be obvious philosophical changes defensively, and I can't think that for 9 months Mike McDaniel won't go into his little laboratory and have a good old tinker, because he saw what happened when teams saw, you know, got more tape on what he was doing. So I think there'll be significant changes. So if that makes them the Florida Panthers, then Florida Panthers they will be.
I take the opposite side here. I think they're just running it back. I think they're running it back on offense, and clearly they made large changes schematically and the coaching staff on the defensive side of the ball. But even on the defensive side of the ball, you know, adding Jalen Ramsey, I mean, you basically take Byron Jones, what Byron Jones was supposed to do last year, right? He was supposed to be there opposite Xavien Howard and just didn't work out. And they're okay. Well, you know, that's not happening anymore. We're just going to sub him out for Jalen Ramsey. And that's not really ripping up the defense. You know, they didn't really rip up the defense. They just subbed out Byron Jones for Jalen Ramsey because Jones isn't playing, you know? And so on offense, they're clearly just running it back. I mean, the significant addition really is probably Devon Achane, but you know, that's why, let's be real about that. That's a third rounder. I think on offense, I mean, even we bitch about the offensive line a lot. For anybody that is just listening to us for the first time. You know, look at the offensive line. They're clearly running that back, right? You know, we're running it back to what they intended to do last season with the offensive line, with Liam Eichenberg at left guard and Austin Jackson at right tackle. It didn't end up working out that way because Austin Jackson ended up injured a lot, which probably was beneficial to the team, if we're honest about it. And Liam Eichenberg, you know, kind of faced some injuries as well. But you know, that's clearly they're running that back. The running back, the running backs room is clearly, you know, it's still Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson. It's you know, the wide receivers still Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill. Yeah, they did some maneuvering at the wide receiver three spot, but I don't know how significant that is. I think overall on offense they are running it back personnel wise. And on defense, they're running it back, but with the exception being, you know, different coaching staff and scheme. And that's something that's not terribly unlike the Heat themselves either, because like the Heat aren't necessarily doing exactly the same things that they did, the previous year, either, you know, so nuance changes, but not necessarily ripping up personnel and tearing up the core of the team or anything like that.
Now, what would you want them to do as far as a philosophical change? Because I'll begin right here. I see no reason. When you look at the makeup of this team on offense, at least, I understand that they added a couple of tight ends. I personally don't see the use of using 12 personnel at all at this point, considering where the talent is on this team and how Devon Achane will operate on this team. I understand he's a good inside zone runner, but you kind of want him out in the passing game. I think 11 personnel is the way forward on this team, and I think they're moving in that direction. Any 21 personnel snaps that they get is just for vanity, I think, at this point. Like, this team is obviously built one way and headed that way. It was how they were most successful last year. I think that's one philosophical change that they could do, is just be true to what they have as far as personnel. Simon, you think that's where they're going with this, and all these dreams of running the ball 380 times this year, that's all nonsense? Like, that's not going to happen? Like, they're...
No, I think they're going to run the ball more. I really do. I think that's the plan. And I go back to what Zach Evans said at the combine about how the Dolphins wanted to mix up their style of running and they wanted to run it inside more. And Zach Evans was specifically asked, could he run the ball in the Miami Dolphins offense the way that Leonard Fournette runs the ball? And I don't just think that's a philosophical conversation about how Fournette carries the football in terms of that sort of violent style. I think it also means that they're going to be running inside a lot. You know, Achane runs inside a lot. People say, oh, he's 5'2", or, you know, and he's 130 pounds, or whatever it is. I'm being facetious, but I think they'll be running the ball inside. I don't think that Achane will, you know, do any more as a receiver than he would ordinarily do, given the fact that he's a running back. I think they'll try and get the ball in his hands as many ways as they can, but I don't think he'll be... I mean, I suspect his first year usage will be a little bit like James Cook's has been for Buffalo. but I expect them to carry the ball an awful lot. And I don't expect that they'll be throwing more necessarily. I think they really want to establish the run. I mean, you know, that is McDaniels is, you know, that's his bread and butter. And also, look, the quarterback could get hurt on any single play, but I just don't think that, you know, throwing the quarterback back and back and back and back and back, down after down after down is necessarily conducive to keeping him healthy. So I do think they'll try and establish the run. They have, you know, I mean, they have tried a little bit to beef up the offensive line, and we don't know where that will get to, and we also don't know how successful that be. But I've got an idea. But I do think they will. I do think they'll try and run the ball a bit more. So I actually think you will see them running the ball more than perhaps we've expected in the past.
Yeah, I think. I was just going to say, I think McDaniel in the off season, internally more so than, you know, outward facing with the public or anything. But I get the feeling that he kind of fell on the sword a little bit, and it was like, you know, because we walked into last season and game after game after game after game, we kept saying the same thing, like, you know, we kept expecting, okay, now it's going to happen. Now it's going to happen. Now it's going to happen. You know, with Mike McDaniel being having the background that he has as sort of a run game scientist, you know, we kept waiting for that over and over and over again.
Twice with Tua against Cleveland and against Buffalo. That was it.
Yeah, it really didn't manifest. And so I think, internally more so than externally, I think he fell on the sword a little bit and took the blame for that, and has vowed that that's not going to happen again, that that he's going to, because we talk about how are we going to help Tua, how are we going to keep him healthy, right? We know that he's kind of an injury prone quarterback. I don't think see any point in denying that sort of reality. How do you keep him healthy? Well, you know, one good way for us would be improvements in the offensive line. And I guess we're, you know, not hell bent on making those improvements. But another way is just to run the ball. And if you run the ball and you successfully run the ball, then the quarterback, that is going to alleviate a lot of pressure off the quarterback, because it just gives defensive linemen and pass rushers so much more to think about. And I think that McDaniel, like, you know, part of it is the jiu-jitsu thing, which, you know, some people think it might be a gimmick. Some people think it might be effective. Who knows? But I think McDaniel is taking this on himself and saying, you know what? I didn't do it. I didn't get the job done. I can, you know, I'm a run guy. And I just, you know, I just went candy dish over and over with the passing game. And that's not going to happen again. There have been indications, outward indications, that he has said this and that he has sort of vowed this. So I think, yes, they are going to run the ball more. And, you know, the emblematic of that is who they drafted, Devon Achane, who, you know, I know he's just kind of a small back, but he was a load carrier, you know, in college. And he was a very effective runner. I mean, we know that he can catch the ball and he's effective in the passing game, but he is a very effective runner. What did he have, like 38 carries against LSU or something like that? Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's emblematic of the new approach. And if we're talking about, like, well, why is say Austin Jackson still here, still in position of not even necessarily competing to start, which is how they started the offseason vowing, but just, no, we expect him to start, which is a very different statement. Why him? Well, there's the perception out here that, you know, he's really a run game guy. You know, that he's got the athleticism. He's in this system that he is there because he can really help the run game. And so I think that that's a big part of why. And so I think, yeah, you're gonna expect to see that more. It's about taking pressure off of Tua. It's about trying to do better than just you know, having it pass and being predictable. And I think that toward the end of the year, we did start to get a little bit predictable, and teams did start to catch up with us, if we're being honest. So I think, look for that.
Yeah, we're going to go to break, but before we go to break, we're going to cover a couple of these rule changes. And when we come back from break, we'll talk about OTAs and where certain guys might be lining up soon. First rule change, this is idiotic. They passed the Thursday night football flex schedule. So they're going to be flexing Thursday night games now. I don't remember anything as ridiculous as far as, you know, that off the field type of stuff as this. Simon, how are they going to justify this? Because people actually travel to games. You know, it happens all the time. How are you going to start flexing games? When are you going to flex these games? And then how are you going to tell teams to change their practice schedule on a Monday if you're flexing their game to a Thursday? Like, this is idiotic, and this will last just one season, I hope. You agree, Simon?
Isn't the rule that don't they have to give 28 days notice or 21 days notice before a flex? It's not just going to be flex that week, is it?
I think that's 28 days.
It's 28 days?
Yeah.
It's not like the old rule, which Monday was, it used to be, what, 14 days to flex a game?
And they're only allowed to flex two, I think, for the whole season.
Exactly.
So significant restrictions on it. I do think it's dumb. I agree with you in the main. I think Thursday night games, period, are dumb.
Yes.
But and so, you know, doing flexing is just making it worse. But at least they, you know, they heard the criticisms of Mark Davis, you know, for example, who did say exactly what you're saying, Alf, which is that, you know, hey, you got these people traveling for these games. How can you know, just all of a sudden, okay, you know, no, it's not going to be the, on Thursday after all. You know, I think that they heard that criticism and they put the significant restrictions in place because of that. But also at the same time, it has the look of sort of a trial, and because of the restrictions, and if they trial it and, you know, and they find that it's fine, it's no big deal, then you could start to see some of those restrictions relaxed, and that would be unfortunate.
Yeah, I think two things. I would be surprised if any Thursday night football game was flexed this season. I think they want to have the flex available, but they'll only use it if they have no other choice. And the second point of that is that Amazon are paying $1 billion a year for 11 years. You know, ultimately, the TV networks are going to win.
Yeah. Well, what I don't understand is the NFL loves money. Yeah, you know what's pretty good for money? Extending the season 1 week and giving everybody an extra bye week. Doesn't matter. It happens in college all the time. College teams have two bye weeks. In high school, it's mandatory to have two bye weeks in your regular season. Just add a bye week. And then that way you could play around with all your little Thursday night games or your Friday night games, because they're going to have one this year. Your eventual Saturday nights and Tuesday nights and Wednesday night football games. So, yeah, just add a bye week and we'd be fine. All right, last rule change, and this one actually did pass. You know when you kick off and the ball bounces around the 2-yard line, it gets picked up and the guy runs around for, you know, for seems like forever, and he gets out to the 12-yarder and you fist pump? Well, that's not going to happen anymore, because all of those are now touchbacks to the 25-yard line. I despise this rule. There's now no strategy whatsoever on how you kick off. Simon, your thoughts on this? I understand they're saying it's for player safety. Kind of ruins one aspect of the game.
I mean, I genuinely don't care. Just don't have an opinion. I mean,
Care about kickoffs at all?
Not really. I mean, just the most irrelevant portion of the game. I mean, most kickoffs go for touchbacks anyway, so I just don't really care, mate.
But if you have a really good field goal kicker, a really good, you know, place kicker that could place it at the 2-yard line, it's an advantage.
Yeah, of course it's an advantage. But, you know, yeah, I mean,
that's gone now.
Yeah. But I mean, how often have we seen that happen?
A few times.
I mean, historically, how often have we seen that happen? Not very often.
I think it seems like lip service, or you know, like almost like a ceremonial like give for player safety, considering they're also talking about flexing Thursday night games, which, you know, is not clearly not a player safe or in the interest of player safety. I mean, they'll throw out you know, data and such to suggest that the Thursday night games are perfectly safe and players do not get are not in danger of more injury. But the players themselves who can feel their bodies, you know, and know what's going on with them, they're clearly against the Thursday night schedules. And the fact that the NFL just seems to be embracing it more, you know, I'm sure the players are not too happy about that. And so just say, well, we're going to turn around. We're going to basically just eliminate the kickoff issue, the kick return injury issue. And that just seems like, you know, it seems like throwing them a bone, but, I didn't even think that was going through. I thought there was significant opposition to it, but yeah, it just seems like throwing a bone.
Yeah, and eventually they're gonna make rules about punts, and you know, like what would happen? You know, what's the halo gonna be like in a few years? I think it's gonna be 5, 6, 7. They're gonna extend the halo on a punt return, you know, because. They want to get rid of every single collision on special teams, it seems. And that's where there was the most collisions last year, is on those short punts where the guy's in between calling fair catch or actually returning it, and then he just gets blasted anyway. I saw that actually happen a lot last year. So that's probably next. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we'll talk about where these guys are all possibly playing, because the Miami Dolphins will not release any of that information. And if you do release some of that information, you'll be doing it under penalty of death. But first, these words.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Are you a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim? Are you dealing with water, mold, or fire damage to your home or business? Are you having trouble locating a 5-star rated general contractor that is fully licensed, certified, and insured? If the answer is yes, then Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, Jorge, and their team is prepared to handle any size property damage disaster. When an unexpected damage occurs to your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress an unexpected disaster may cause. Their objective is to make the cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed general contractor, so they provide the A to Z service, one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. Water Cleanup of Florida is now an authorized dealer of Eurocraft cabinets, so premier kitchen, bath, and laundry cabinetry, countertops, and other accessories are available for your viewing at their showroom in Boca Raton. Or, do you prefer to shop from your home or office? Then Water Cleanup will send you one of our design specialists to you with samples and products that fit your style and budget. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone if you have any questions at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356. Or visit their website at WCUFL.com. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. And please check out their more than 80 five-star reviews on Google and Facebook. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
I'm Jalen Phillips, and you're listening to 3 Yards Per Carry.
All right, and we're back. Simon, all we know so far is that Channing Tindall is not getting, a first run as the backup to David Long, and that Andrew Van Ginkel is getting a long look as an inside linebacker. I have some apprehension about that, but do you think it actually says something about Channing Tindall in the eyes of the coaches? Because I don't see how it can. Your thoughts?
Well, I don't really believe that Vic Fangio says he's not going to look at any of the tape of any of the players. I just don't think that's... I just don't see that. I don't think it's...
Nor do I.
Yeah, I just... That makes no sense to me whatsoever. I don't get the sense that... Because everything that Tindall's doing at the moment is the sort of stuff that he's going to look fantastic in. It's that athletic stuff. It's movement. Mm-hmm. It's running around in shorts. It's looking good. It's being quick. It's all of those sorts of things that he excels at because he's an incredible athlete. So I just don't believe that they're all of a sudden talking about Van Ginkel playing outside and then kicking inside, especially when you've got Duke Riley and David Long and Jerome Baker. So I think it must be Fangio looking at tape and thinking, I'm not sure this guy's got the read and react ability that I'm looking for, the trigger that I'm looking for, the football intelligence that I'm looking for in this defense, and that has to come off tape. It can't come from running around in shorts, because I think Tindall will look fantastic running around in shorts. So, but ultimately, I don't... Chris and I were talking about this on OnlyFins yesterday. I just don't think it's a good look for him.
Really? Yeah. I think that, no, if anybody's worried that he's going to get cut or anything like that, let's take that aside for now, because, if Austin Jackson can continue on the roster and continue in the starting position for 17 years, and if, Noah Igbinoghene can still be on the roster, even though he's still probably younger than some rookies, but it seems like he's been around for a long time. You're not going to get rid of Channing Tindall all of a sudden, before his second year even starts. And so we're not giving up on him. But let's keep in mind that, the Vic Fangio thing. First off, when Vic Fangio was being tossed around as defensive coordinator, I was sort of very buyer beware in terms of being left at the altar, because this is the kind of guy that would do that. And I think there, he might have even been trying to a little bit, but there are coaches that I think would lie to, or would not lie directly to the media, would just try and play around with nuanced words or play games with omitting certain things or something like that. I don't think Vic Fangio is one of those guys. I think he would tell you that that Miami is a cold weather city if he believed it helped his unit in some way. I think that so when he says that he doesn't watch tape on any of these guys and he just wants, I don't believe that for a second. I think he also during his time off he was probably looking at guys across the league, and including looking at draft prospects and stuff like that. And I think he had opinions on draft prospects. And I wouldn't be surprised if Channing Tindall was, definitely not one of his guys. I mean, it's he does not have the traits that I think that Vic Fangio prizes in those inside linebackers, which is more instinctiveness and physicality. And so I think that Channing Tindall is kind of, he was drafted for a different defense, and there's an unfortunate reality around there. Does that mean that he's gone? He has no future? No, but it does probably mean that his timeline has been lengthened at the very least. So, not surprising to me that Vic Fangio would appreciate Andrew Van Ginkel's game. I think he is very instinctive and physical for an outside rush linebacker. And so they're going to try him on the inside. And he's probably going to be second. I think this is probably a significant move. I think he's probably going to be second unit inside linebacker along with Duke Riley. We're going to have David Long and Jerome Baker, and then we're going to have behind them Duke Riley and Channing Tindall, or not Channing, sorry, Andrew Van Ginkel. And so, and that kicks Tyndall down a bit. Now, what I wouldn't be surprised to see actually is for Tyndall to be tried a little on the outside, in rush positions where his athleticism is pure athleticism. You know, despite lack of instincts, that pure athleticism on the outside at rush linebacker can get more purchase in this defense and in Vic Fangio's defense. So I would look for that, you know, and I think that that's something that that we could see happen a little, but we just have to keep an eye on it.
Yeah, if David Long is healthy all year, he's going to play somewhere around 85% of the snaps to maybe even 90% of the snaps, because that's what's required of his skill set. But we know he hasn't been completely healthy as of late. So this is one that's it bears watching, because whoever lines up behind him as his backup could play a good chunk of the snaps this year. So I'd be interested to see what shakes out right there. Isaiah Wynn's getting talked about a lot. Simon, do you think this is a real thing, or this is just, or he was just brought in? Yeah, because you kind of speculated that, you know, he's just depth, and maybe that's just where he's going to be. And, you know, if he's the backup to Teron Armstead, that's not the worst thing in the world. He's getting mentioned now by coaches and being asked about by all the beat writers. He seems to be a pretty popular man at OTAs. Is this something or nothing? Do you think he challenges for a spot here?
I mean, it has to be something because of the paucity of talent that we have on the line. So it has to be something, you know, and I would 1,000,000,000% believe that he's been pegged in to be a starter at some point. And then the backup to Teron Armstead, I can't think that anything else will happen. Obviously, the blue-eyed boy that is Austin Jackson will still be in the mix at right tackle. But, you know, that line needs to get better, and they need to protect the quarterback. And, you know, so it's definitely something. What that something is remains to be seen.
Chris?
Yeah, I think that if you look at the contract, paying him, I think it's a $2.3 million base. And while that's not a great deal of money at all, it is a bit more significant than just a veteran's minimum deal. And so I think, you know, they're probably looking for something out of him. I don't know that they're looking for necessarily more than just a backup at multiple positions. I think it's just going to be interesting with him overall, because coming out of college, you know, a lot of people did project him to move inside to guard. However, in the few times that he's done it with the Patriots, I think maybe two or three games, he's been pretty, you know, abjectly awful in as a left guard. And I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to exaggerate there. He was much better at left tackle than he was at left guard. It's just what it was. And he was also better at left tackle than right tackle. So if we're sitting here thinking, you know, he's going to take over for Austin Jackson, then that's, you know, that's problematic as well. So at the end of the day, you know, hey, they know that Teron Armstead only played 67% of the snaps last year, and that his doctors basically suggested that he play almost none of them. You know,
and that number's not going to go up this season.
And that, no, at this stage of his career, is that number going to go up? No, it's not going to. So they have to know that. So just like any good fantasy team, you have a handcuff, right?
Yes.
And I think that a $2.3 million sounds about right for your left tackle handcuff for when you know that Teron Armstead is going to miss those games. And I think that there's going to be a push for, yes, to cross train him at left guard, maybe right tackle a little bit, like try him out, because they want to make everybody useful. Even if their, you know, their primary role is to sit on the bench and wait for Teron Armstead to inevitably miss games. But I can't help but think this is where he was the best, you know, not that he was ever great. And I think Simon and I have some qualms about him. about how he played with the Patriots, but this is where he was the best with the Patriots, was left tackle. And so I think that the thing that makes the most sense, and the money actually fits the puzzle piece there, that the that he's just going to be the handcuff to Teron Armstead.
All right. And the only news really that has come out so far of OTAs, and then we're going to end it right here, is that he was asked about, meaning Mike McDaniel, was asked about Nick Needham and Brandon Jones. And he said that, you know, both are working diligently. And he kind of said that he expects them ready for camp. We're doing this again. Okay. With the Byron Jones things. Hopefully it works out. Hopefully it works out well for him this year, because it didn't last year when he proclaimed Byron Jones ready for camp and then ready for week one and then ready for week five. And then he didn't know. As far as I know, Brandon Jones is much more way ahead of Nick Needham. I have no idea what's going on with Nick Needham. I guess there's some Instagram videos out there of him working out, but I know that Brandon Jones is looking good and looking like he'll be ready for even day one of camp. No idea on Nick Needham. I don't know if you have any information on that, Simon.
No, no information. But look, McDaniel's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. If he comes out and says, yeah, they're going to be ready for training camp, or they're going to be ready on July the 1st, or they're going to be ready on September the 10th, and then they're not ready, then, you know, he's just making himself a hostage to fortune. So I just don't see the point in coming out and doing it. These injuries, especially these movement injuries, Achilles, ACLs, PCLs, MCLs, all these, you know, these injuries, that they are difficult to judge, and some players come back quicker than others because everybody's physiological makeup is different. So I just don't think that he can be beholden to a certain date, because if, like I said, if they don't make that day, he just looks an idiot and then everybody complains about it. And, yeah, you know, you just, I just don't really see the point.
Okay. One piece of business before we go out. Simon, Kristen Wilkins' deal gets done before we're back on the air. We'll be back on the air in July, by the way.
So yes, I would say yes.
Yeah, I tend to agree. You have a good guess as to the number? I say 5 years, 105 million.
Yeah, I'd say something around that. I'd say 101 million, 5 years, something like that. It'll be around that figure, I think.
Yeah, it'll be a big number. He deserves it. And yeah, it'll be, yeah, I think that's, would that be the first of the rebuilds that get a second contract? Am I right about that or no?
Would you class him as rebuild? I don't know. Did he come in that? I mean, I'd class rebuild.
He was, yeah, he was that 2019 class, right?
Yeah. So he's the first to get a second contract of,
the last.
No.
Well, that off season, I mean, it's the first, but let's face it, like that off season, remember what that off season, the point of the off season was more to tear things down than to build things up. And so the off season was basically Christian Wilkins and and that's it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can say Ryan Fitzpatrick, but you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick was not a long-term thing either. Yeah, I think that, not surprising you'd be the first to get the extension, but yeah, he's, it'll come in. I think there's always been confidence. The people that I've talked to, have always expressed utter confidence that it gets done. And you know, I think that we're getting toward the time when a bunch of things kind of converge on each other. And so I expect it to happen around when June 1st happens as well, when the Dolphins get the cap relief from the Byron Jones thing. So, I do think it happens.
All right. We're going to end it right there. We'll be back in July, but in the meantime, you get to listen to Kaichan Chisholm, Marek Brave, and Josh Houts sit in for us the entire month of June. Listen to them. I'll see you guys in July.
See you later.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.